So when I began this series on the Holy Spirit, the thing that God had really impressed upon me to do was to just start with what Jesus actually said about the Holy Spirit. And the lessons that I have been presenting this series to you are all from John 14 through 16. You might want to go ahead and open up your Bibles there, but let me start with this story of a shepherd. He's out in his pasture. He's got a huge flock of sheep, and into his barnyard drives up a very expensive black SUV, and a guy gets out. He's got on a $3,000 European suit. He's got on a $1,000 pair of Italian leather shoes. He's got on a French silk tie. He's got the whole look. And he says, "Hey, if I could tell you how many sheep you've got in your pasture, can I have one?" The shepherd was a little taken back by the request, but he said, "Well, sure." So this guy gets out his smartphone, and he's hooking up to NASA and looking into their GPS, their satellite imagery. He's got a screen on his dashboard, and he's got a printer inside of his car, and he's printing out spreadsheets, and he's studying this report that he printed out, and he analyzes it for about 15 or 20 minutes. And finally, he says, "You know what? You've got 1,586 sheep in your pasture." The shepherd says, "You are exactly right. Go ahead, take one." So he goes and he gets an animal and he puts it in his car. But before he leaves, the shepherd says, "Now, let me ask you, if I could tell you what you do for a living, can I have my animal back?" He said, "Sure, if you can guess it." He said, "Well, you're a business consultant, aren't you?" The man was shocked. He said, "That's right. How did you know?" Well, the shepherd said, "It wasn't very hard in the first place. You show up without being asked. In the second place, you want to get paid for telling me something that I already know. And in the third place, you don't know anything about my business because you've got my dog in your car." We have never lived in a time in history where we've got more information coming at us and accessible to us. We are inundated with information. But our world is still broken. Information doesn't produce transformation. We've got a lot of knowledge, but we sure don't seem to have a lot of wisdom. And maybe what's most wrong is that we can't agree on what is most right. And this is one of the biggest reasons why Jesus was so eager to impart the parting gift. I want you to look with me, John 14, verses 16 and the first part of verse 17. This is what our text says. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." So I read through these three chapters over and over, preparing for this series, and the term that Jesus uses to describe the Holy Spirit more than any other is advocate or helper, but the name that Jesus uses is the Spirit of Truth. And I pondered that because he could have just said the Spirit of Joy, or the Spirit of Peace, or the Spirit of Love, or the Spirit of Holiness, or as Paul liked to say, the Spirit of Christ. But what Jesus did consistently is he referred to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth. Why? Well, the truth is, we need truth help. The Holy Spirit has come to help us. And the area where we seem to need the most help is truth, because we live in an age that would rather be politically correct than correct. And here's the problem with that. You can be absolutely sincere and sincerely wrong. See, I don't want a doctor that says to me, "It doesn't matter what kind of medicine I take as long as I think it's going to make me better." I don't want someone to tell me what road you go down to the emergency room doesn't really matter as long as you believe it'll get you there. There are some areas and some arenas of our life where we need the truth. And in the most important arena, it would help if we knew exactly what God thought. And to do that, we have to have help. And so I'm going to read to you a longer passage that's going to help you understand why some people grasp the truth of God and some people just don't. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 10. Follow along with me. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10 says this: "These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit." And this helps explain why some people can grasp the mind of God and other people are in a fog. Do you realize the enormity of the gift that Jesus has given to us? The capacity to understand the thoughts of God. We can stop the sermon right here and we'd all be glad. We have the capacity to discern the mind of God because we have been given the Spirit of God. And this is why the Holy Spirit can never be considered just some optional extra for a little subset of Christians, because you and me, we need truth help. And the Holy Spirit reveals the truth of God, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And so again, Jesus says in John 16, verse 12, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He comes, the Spirit of truth, He will guide you into all the truth." Now, that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's going to help you on your physics exam. It means that everything that you need to grasp and understand the person God has called you to be, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you. Now, how does He do that? There's two ways, and here is the first. Write it down. The Spirit of truth helps us hear the truth. Well, how does He do that? Well, I'm sure there are more ways that I'm going to mention, but I'm going to mention what I think are the three main ways that the Spirit of truth helps us hear the truth. And here's the first, and I think it's the most obvious. The Holy Spirit helps us read the Bible. Now, at this church, we believe that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Scriptures. I believe the Scriptures claim that actually of themselves. It says in 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And that word breathe, it's also the word wind, it's also the word spirit, and it means that the Scriptures are the very product of the Spirit of God ushered to us from the mind of God. Twice then, in the book of Hebrews, for example, before the author quotes a passage from the Bible, he says, "The Holy Spirit says." That when you read Scripture, you're reading what the Holy Spirit says. And Peter says that the authors of the Scriptures didn't just make stuff up in their heads, but they wrote as they were, quote, carried along by the Holy Spirit. And that's very important, because there are some people that actually will say, "Well, I just want to hear from the Spirit." Well, are you listening to what He's already said? Are you in the Word? Because the Holy Spirit is never going to contradict what he's already written, and that is very important, because I have talked to so many people that want to justify behavior that is very contrary to the Bible, and they'll say, well, the Holy Spirit just led me. And they wind up in disasters. The Holy Spirit is not dumb insurance. You need to study, you need to read, and you need to obey your Bible. And what the Holy Spirit is going to do is to help you discover and to possess the gold mine of truth that is in the Scriptures. And here's why that's important. If you do not ask for the Holy Spirit's help to read the Bible, all you're going to do is just reinforce your own prejudices or traditions. You're going to go to the Bible with what you already think, and you're going to find the Bible agreeing with you. That's not actually Bible study. The Holy Spirit that inspired the authors of Scripture can also translate for the readers so that we can get past assumptions and traditions and hear the deep truths from God. So let me encourage you to try something out. Before you read your Bible, just take a moment and be still and be quiet and just say, Lord, through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help me today to better understand your truth. I like how David put it in Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. One thing that I've learned about people that grow in fellowship with the Holy Spirit is they have an increased appetite for the Word of God. It's one of the surest signs that you are becoming more Spirit-filled, that you have a hunger for the Word, and this is one way the Spirit helps us to hear the truth. Another way the Spirit helps us hear the truth is that the Holy Spirit has this ministry inside of each of us, and it's what I would say is an internal lie detector. Because here's the thing about the devil. He is the father of lies. That is his business. That is his native tongue. He traffics in deception. What are the very first words from the devil in our Bible? Did God really say? So what happens when you're in the flow of the Holy Spirit and you start to hear an idea or a thought and this internal truth alarm goes off and says, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like something Jesus taught. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this internal teaching ministry is promised to every single believer. That's why John says in 1 John chapter 2, but you have received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as he taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. Now, John isn't rebuking human teachers. John himself was a teacher, and the Spirit's gift to people is to teach and to preach in the body of Christ. He's not rebuking a human teacher. What he's rebuking is dependence upon human teaching. He is confronting this idea that only some people actually get to hear from God, and the rest just have to depend on what those people think. So if you study how cults operate, there's always this leader who says to everyone else, I hear from God, and I will tell you what God wants you to know. So if you need the truth, you've got to come to me to get it. And John is saying that's not how it operates in the kingdom of God. That we all have access to the truth of God because every single one of us, we all have this internal teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will guide our thoughts toward the truth of Jesus, and he will guard our thoughts from those things that would lead us away from Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit helps us to hear the truth, helps us to read our Bibles, helps us to detect false teaching. And one more thing, the Holy Spirit helps us hear the truth through communal discernment of Spirit-filled people. And I've seen this so many times in my own ministry. It's when I meet with the leaders of our church. It's when I sit down with other ministers and talk about Scripture. There is power when Spirit-filled people get together and they just wrestle with the text and they pray and they search for truth. The Holy Spirit will anoint that process. Let me give you an example from our Bibles, Acts chapter 15. The church is wrestling with a massive issue, the biggest controversy that it will ever have. Just how big is the Bible? Is the Bible for every nation and every culture and every race, or do you have to become a Jew before you become a Christian? So they get together. Peter and Paul reflect on their ministries and their experiences. James reads from the prophets, and then they all pray. And they talk, and they come to the truth that the gospel is for every single person. And you don't have to become a Jew to become a Christian. And they write this letter to the churches, and I love what they say at the very start of the letter. Verse 28, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. And what they're saying is that somehow, as we got together and we prayed and we wrestled with the text and we told our stories, the Holy Spirit anointed that process so that we came to the truth. That's why if you think the Holy Spirit is telling you to do something and there is not one other Spirit-filled person in your life telling you, yeah, I think that that's what God wants you to do, then you probably ought to walk very slowly. My friend, because the Holy Spirit helps us to hear the truth through the community of faith and Spirit-filled believers. Because I'll say it again, the conflict with our enemy, the one who wants to destroy your life, is primarily a truth battle. And Jesus has given you the Holy Spirit to help you win that battle. Now, some of you are thinking, well, I just hardly ever hear the Holy Spirit. And here's the big part of the problem. Because you and I have filled our lives up with so much ambient noise, so much clutter, and so much distraction. We often cannot hear God when he's speaking plainly to us. Some of you are old enough to remember George Burns and his wife Gracie. They used to do a comedy routines together, and one of their routines, Gracie asked a repairman to come and fix her clock because she said it wouldn't give the correct time. The repairman looks at it and says, "Ma'am, there's nothing wrong with this clock. You just don't have it plugged in." She said, "Well, I'm trying to save money on electricity, and I only plug it in when I want to know what time it is." And some of us only plug into God when there's a crisis. Some of us only plug into God when we really want that word from the Lord, instead of just staying plugged in to the Father. We were supposed to live always in tune with the Holy Spirit so that we can always stay on topic. And the topic, by the way, is Jesus. Look at John chapter 15, verses 26 through 27. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. So the Spirit of truth is going to help us hear the truth. And Jesus said, the Spirit of truth helps us speak the truth. Now here are the disciples. They are in the very presence of the resurrected Jesus. And I'm sure they're ready to just go out and tell the entire world about this. But the very first command that Jesus gave them wasn't go. His command was wait. Go into Jerusalem and wait for the gift that I'm going to send you. He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And that is exactly what happened. They're on Pentecost, and the Spirit descends. They are the least expected group in history to launch a worldwide movement. They've got no assets. They've got no money. They've got no political power. They've got no education. And they launch a movement that still to this day is changing our planet. Least expected, but most empowered. When that Spirit descended and they began to proclaim Christ, this crowd gathers and they're thinking, what has gotten into Peter and all those disciples? It's the wrong question. It's not what has gotten into them. It is who has gotten into them. And they start to proclaim with unnatural boldness and unnatural clarity because they have supernatural help, just like Jesus promised. For example, go all the way back to Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said this, but notice the next word, when they arrest you, not if, when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. You see, it is very important to understand that Jesus has sent us the Spirit not to just help us walk, but to help us talk the way of Jesus. Because the gospel needs words, not just actions. So I want to share something in the next couple minutes here that I have a high propensity maybe to be misunderstood. So I want to be very clear, and I think it's worth the risk. See, I'm excited to see a movement to help people with what some would label as social justice in the church. I don't think that that's a bad thing, helping the poor, helping the marginalized, to help, to be people who do good. That's good. To be salt and light, and to do good works that bring glory to our Father. But what has happened, I fear, is that we have decided that if we will just be a good example, the world will still understand the gospel. And I don't believe that. See, I believe the gospel must be taught to be caught. And so you have this neighbor, and you decide in the name of Christ that you're going to be a good neighbor. And when your neighbor breaks his leg, you go and you mow your neighbor's lawn. And when his wife gets sick, you bring a casserole over. And when he gets cancer, you go and visit him in the hospital. And then he dies. And what gospel did you preach then to your neighbor? You preach a false gospel that is very popular in America, that if you're just nice and you're good, then God will save you because God saves good people. And kindness doesn't wash away one single sin. Only blood does that. And what your neighbor needed was to know who Jesus is and why Jesus came and what Jesus did. And I think much of the evangelistic apathy in the church today is the sad and inevitable consequence of most of us living with really no intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Remember the tragedy of the sinking of the Titanic in 1912, when the iceberg gashed the hull of that ship. They sent out distress signals. The closest ship was the SS Californian, and it was only about 90 minutes away. And had that ship responded immediately upon receiving the distress signal, she would have gotten to the Titanic before it actually sank. But the ship never showed up. And so there was a congressional hearing, and Senator William Smith of Michigan asked the captain of that ship, the SS Californian, why didn't you respond to the distress call from the Titanic? And he fidgeted. And finally he said, well, we were afraid. We were afraid of icebergs, so we had shut off our fires, and we had no power. No fire, no power, and no one got saved. And when the church quenches the fire of the Holy Spirit, she has no power, and no one gets saved. And I believe when you live in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, His passions start to become your passions. And the Holy Spirit is passionate about lifting Jesus up so that all can come to Him. The Holy Spirit is actually the greatest evangelist in the New Testament. And what you see as you read, especially through the book of Acts, anytime anybody is filled with the Holy Spirit, the first thing they start to do is they talk about Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, when they're filled with the Spirit, they start to proclaim the wonders of God, and they are lifting up Jesus. Acts chapters 3 and 4, Peter and John, they're on their way to the temple. They see a lame man. They heal that lame man. He begins to jump up and down, and a crowd gathers. Peter starts to preach to the crowd. He upsets the authorities. They call them in to question them, and that's where Peter made that great statement that only Jesus is the only name under heaven by which men can be saved. And if you read right before that, it says that Peter was full of the Holy Spirit. And later in that chapter, they're sent home and they're told not to talk about Jesus anymore under great threat. So they get together in a prayer meeting and they ask God, God, give us more boldness to talk about Jesus. And the room shakes and they're filled with the Spirit and they start to speak the word of God boldly. But maybe my favorite example is in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts. Stephen is preaching this powerful sermon about Jesus, and the religious authorities, as they're listening to him preach, are getting angrier and angrier at him. They're not sure what they're going to do with this guy. And then Stephen crosses this line, and it says, full of the Holy Spirit, he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And they took him out and they stoned him, filled with rage. They didn't know how to silence a man in any other way that was filled with the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit has one curriculum, the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 16 that he will glorify me because it's from me that he'll receive what he'll make known to you. The Holy Spirit wasn't given to you for your agenda. He was given to you for Christ's agenda. He is present. He is able. He is eager to do what, honestly, most of us, it just doesn't come naturally. Witnessing is supernatural business. And we need help in that. And my observation is that most of us are not living secretly sinful lives, we're living secretly Christian lives. And the Holy Spirit wants to help us walk and talk Jesus. He wants to add some fitness to our witness. He wants to give us the courage and the words to confront what is most wrong with the truth about what is most right. Because the truth is, Jesus is the truth. Jesus never told us, believe that. He said, believe me. Jesus made himself the issue. In fact, the entire discourse through all of this that we've been looking at through John 14 through 16, it all began with a very controversial statement that Miranda read at the very beginning of our worship service this morning. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And that is politically incorrect, but it is indeed correct. Jesus is the only way to God. He is the Son of God. He is the wisdom of God. And the Holy Spirit is going to help us stay on topic. And more, it's becoming very, very clear to me that Jesus is the whole issue. I remember having a discussion a while back in the days when I was doing radio, and this guy befriended me, and all he wanted to do was discuss the Nephilim. He wanted to talk to me about my thoughts about the book of Enoch, all these other things. Finally, after listening to him, I said, you know, that's not the issue. The issue is Jesus. Who was Jesus? Why did Jesus come? I'm challenging you, my friend, to investigate the evidence for his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And let's make up our minds about who Jesus is. The Bible says, you cannot say Jesus is Lord without the help of the Holy Spirit. And we need help. So why don't we ask for some? Would you go ahead and bow your heads with me for just a moment? And I'd like you to pray this prayer to God. Dear Lord, in the name and in the power and ministry of your Spirit, help Jesus become more true to me. So, Father, I'm asking right now that you help us embrace the truth of Jesus. I know that there are people in this room right now that are in a hard place. Life has been hard. And they need to know that the gospel of Jesus speaks to that. That there's somebody in the room right now and they feel like they're actually in prison. They're stuck in this place and they want to stop and they can't. And they need the liberating power of Jesus. Father, help those who can't decide whether or not to make a decision for you to decide to make a decision for you. Help people see. This is the day the line needs to be crossed. We all need help, God. We live in a culture filled with propaganda and untruth. We swim in it every day. And we don't even sometimes realize how deep it is. We need to orient our lives around the truth of Jesus. So, Holy Spirit, help us. Help us for Jesus' sake. In his name, amen.